Blog Talk Radio.
That he woke me up this morning, thanking God that I had peaceful rest. So as I say every day, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be a child of the Most High God. And grateful, thankful, and blessed to be with you this morning. As always, I have to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. On yesterday, Mother Valerie and I both attended the homegoing of a wonderful woman of God, which was beautiful, and her very sweet, nothing but love. And so I thank God for having the opportunity to have known this unit. You couldn't call her nothing but Miss Eunice, even though we were the same age. I called her Miss Eunice because she was just that, as one of the speakers said, it was just simply a speaking in respect, because it was something about her that just made you want to respect her. And I always laughed because she'd always tell me, and she had this raspy voice, "I love you, Miss Bridget." And I was Minister Bridget first, and then it was, "I love you, Pastor Bridget." And I was like, "I love you too, Miss Eunice." A wonderful woman who raised many foster children who were there to pay their respects. And it touched my heart that they were there to love on her, to tell her thank you. And I say to you this morning, when God puts someone on your heart, call them, because you never know. You may not have opportunity to call them later. Trust God in everything. And I just have to give this, the word that God gave me. But this morning is I have put my trust in the Lord God. And my grandson, who is so very smart, told his mom last night, and I called him my little preacher. He told her, "Mom, no one is perfect but God, and God never fails." And all I could think of was from the mouth of babes. No one is perfect but God, and God never fails. When we put our trust in God, He never fails. Children see what even adults don't see. It's so easy to talk about how awful someone is. But it's a lot harder to pray for those that have mistreated you. But we got to shake off all of that and trust God, because nobody's perfect but Him. And so we have to put our trust in the Lord. In our lesson today, Peter is redeemed. When Jesus chooses Peter, the one who denied him three times, he tells him, he asks him, Peter, do you love me? And of course he says, yes. And he says, feed the sheep. Then he asks him again, Peter, do you love me? Tend my sheep. Then that third time, you know, of course, Peter's getting a little frustrated. And he says to him, Peter, do you love me? He says, you know I love you, Lord. He says, feed my sheep. We, as ministers and people of God, have got to love Jesus and feed his sheep. And that is what our assignments are. The assignment of Mother Valerie, the assignment of myself and many other ministers. It's not about self-aggrandizement. It's about feeding the sheep of God with the word of God. Because it is God that we put our trust. It is the Lord God we put our trust. It is the Savior we put our trust, because nobody's perfect but God. And we know Jesus was God in the flesh. No one's perfect but God. And he never failed. What a profound word to come from a five-year-old who happens to be turning six on tomorrow. But he sees, he hears, and he understands. And all I could say was thank you, Lord, for those nights that he would spend the night and we would read the Bible and we would talk about the fact that God never fails, that he got it, not only from me, but from Evangelist Teresa in his children's church class. And I'm like, wow, God, thank you. Just a reminder that when we pour into our children, they pour back more to us. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this wonderful morning?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a sunshine morning in here. I thank God for
it. Yes, it is.
And the service yesterday was the homegoing of Eunice and her family. It was just beautiful. And I kept my eyes on Willie. I mean, he had a smile on his face, a smile on his face, and a smile on his face. Looked like he was leading the way for all of us to act. He was just smiling. And I think he knew that she was absent from the body, present with the Lord. A few tears. And, Pastor, I just love the songs that you were singing. It was just, you know, it was just beautiful. I mean, you touched my heart. It was just beautiful. It was just a lovely, beautiful homegoing. I was so happy to see all the saints, my people of God. And it was just a beautiful homegoing. Beautiful.
Amen.
Absolutely beautiful.
Amen.
And the way they talked about her, he was loved.
Very much so.
So we're going to get into the lesson.
Yes, ma'am. And we're going to pray in and we're going to get to work. Because, Mother, what is time to go to work? Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, we are coming to you with open hearts and minds and spirits, open to receive what you want us to pour out, God. We ask you, Lord God, to increase as we decrease. Lord God, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in our sight. Lord God, help us to speak life, life and life more abundantly, Father God, because your word tells us the good. Your word tells us the bad. Your word tells us the ugly. But through it all, God, you never fail. You are always there to bring us through. You're always there to guide and lead us, God, in light and not in darkness. So, Father God, as I lift up this word, I thank you this morning. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your guidance and your leadership, Father God. And I thank you that you will make all things right. You will make crooked roads straight. And you will open hearts and minds and spirits to your word. In Jesus' name, we pray, believing and trusting in you, God. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil gets real mad when we are children of God, and he knows we got to go forth. And what does he attack? He attacks where you're the most vulnerable. I have issues on occasion, but I'm not claiming them, so I'm not even going to speak them. But I know one thing, that God is clearing up my voice, and God is clearing up anything that the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy in my life. God is in charge, and as my grandson said, God never fails. Hallelujah. I take that with me today. God never fails. And as we go forth, we trust him. And we are in today, 2 Kings chapter 15, 16, and Proverbs. I'm sorry, Psalms, the 73rd Psalm, chapter 21 through 28, which is where our title comes from this morning. And Proverbs 18, 20 through 21 is what I will be reading today. And Mother Valerie will come back with one of the most important lessons I truly believe that are in the Bible. And that is the Bible, that is the lesson of redemption, the story of Peter, and the fact that even in his sinful self, God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, redeems him and gives him the most important assignment as a disciple, to feed the sheep of God, to be that cornerstone, to be that one that will spread the word of God through the kingdom. So thanking God, this lesson of Peter was one of my first sermons that got me actually on Blog Talk Radio. I did it for another show that I was doing, but it wasn't a show. It was Morning Glory Nation, and I shout out them today. I was not able to get on this morning, but I will be hopefully on in the morning. But the one thing is that because I was given opportunity, that was a word that God gave me, was to feed a sheep. And a person that was a producer for Blog Talk heard it and offered me a position to start doing a blog and doing a show on Blog Talk Radio. And that was 7 years ago in August. And all I can say is thank you, God, for the opportunity. Thank you, Prophetess Diane Shaw, for opening doors for me. I appreciate it. We got to open doors for others. As I opened the door for Mother Valerie, Mother Valerie will open doors for others as well. So let's get started in 2 Kings chapter 15. Forgive the voice this morning. That is what gets attacked by God. Hallelujah. And it says that in the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah, the son of Amaziah, king of Judah, became king. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, except that the high places were not removed. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Then the Lord struck the king, so that he was a leper until the day of his death. So he dwelt in an isolated house, and Jotham, the king's son, was over the royal house, judging the people of the land. I was reading that, and I thought when I was studying, I'm like, how? He was good, so why did he get leprosy? Why did you give this man supper, so you was a good kitten. And then I realized because he did not do all that God said do, which was to tear down those places. You know, and I thought, wow, God, you are strict. And I felt, yeah, he is. And there are some things in our life that are messed up because we ain't cleaned up. So we need to do what God says do. Because now the rest of the acts of the earth and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. 38th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reigned over Israel in Samaria 6 months. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He had made Israel sin. Then Shalom, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him and struck and killed him in front of the people. And he reigned in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Zechariah, indeed, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. This was the word of the Lord which he spoke to Jehu, saying, your son shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. And so it was. Shalom, the son of Jabesh, became king of in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, and he reigned a 4 months in Samaria. For Menahem, the son of Gadi, went up from Tarsa, came to Samaria, and struck Shalom, the son of Jabesh, in Samaria, and killed him. And he reigned in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Shalom and the conspiracy which he led, indeed, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Then from Tarsa, Menahem attacked Jabesh, all who were there in his territory, because they did not surrender. Therefore, he attacked it, and all the women who were with child he ripped open. What did I say? In the word of God is the good and the bad and the downright nasty, ugly, ripped babies out of pregnant women. You think about how disgusting and evil that is. Just evil to the core. And it says that in the 39th year of Uzziah, the king of Judah, Menahem, the son of Gadi, became king over Israel and reigned 10 years in Samaria. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. But Pul, king of Assyria, came against the land, and Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, and his hand might be with him to strengthen the kingdom under his control. And Menahem exacted the money from Israel, from all the very wealthy, from each man 50 shekels of silver to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and did not stay there in the land. Now the rest of the acts of Menahem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Menahem rested with his fathers, and Pekahiah, his son, reigned in his place. In the 50th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, the son of Menahem, became king over Israel and Samaria and reigned 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He made Israel sin. Then Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the officer of his, conspired against him and killed him in Samaria, in the cathedral of the king's house, along with Argab and Eras, and with him were 50 men of Gilead. He killed him and reigned in his place. All this assassination's going on. I'm going to assassinate you and take your place. And that's what went on in Israel. And let's see what's going on in Judah. It says, now the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all that he did, indeed, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. In the 52nd year of Uzziah, the king of Judah, Pekah, son of Remaliah, became king over Israel in Samaria and reigned 20 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin in the days of Pekah, king of Israel. Tiglath, sister, king of Assyria, came and took Ijon, Abel, Beth, Mikai, Jonah, Jaana, Genoa, excuse me, Kiddush, Hazar, Gilead, Galilee, and all the land of Naphtali. And he carried them captive to Assyria. Then Hosea, the son of Elah, led a conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Ramallah, and struck and killed him, so he reigned in his place in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzziah. Now the rest of the acts of Pekah and all that he did, indeed they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Ramallah, king of Israel, Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok, and he did what was right. There we go. That are underlined, highlightable. Out of all of these kings that did wrong, he got finally get a king that did right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. However, the high places, here we go again, were not removed. The people still sacrificed and burned incense up on the high places. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Joseph and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? In those days, the Lord began to reign, risen king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Ramlah, against Judah. So Joseph rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. Then Ahaz, his son, reigned in his place. And we're going to go back to some a life lesson, because this just like really bothered my spirit when a person that was doing good was struck down. And I thought about it. And, you know, as we were talking about Sister Eunice, good people, took care of so many children, raised so many foster children to be great men of God, but got stage 4 cancer. And it's, you know, I say this to remind people. God, my sister also had cancer, but God saved her life, and I'm grateful for that. She's been in remission now, I believe, 6 years, maybe 7, and I'm grateful, very, very grateful for the great doctors that she has had and has, you know, that she is, and she's an educator doing a great job raising up another generation of good people, and I just say, that things happen to good people. And God reminded me, think about your own life, what has happened in your life, those that have passed on who were good people, those that have gone through who were good people, because they are mine, and they put their trust in me, and I never left them. Even though it may look like I did, I didn't. And this is what Dr. Stanley says about the Lord struck the king so that he was a leper until the day of his death. Why did God shrink Amaziah with leprosy? 2 Chronicles 26:16-21 tells us that when the king became strong, he became proud. And see, that's not in Kings. So you don't have the full story. And we have to go and get the full story of a situation. He became proud and attempted to upset the duties of the priest. God immediately made him a leper. Pride has terrible consequences. We can't be so prideful that we get ourselves and put ourselves on these pedestals, you know, and that includes pastors and bishops and apostles and those that are ahead of congregations and ministries, we have to be very, very careful that we do not try to put ourselves in the place of God. There's only one God, and as my grandson says, he's perfect, and he never fails. We got to make sure that we don't let pride come into the place of what we have to do for God. We have to be humble, and we have to understand with humility is where everything comes in. We got to make sure that we are humble and have humility, because God will strike you down. God will take everything you have when you start acting like you're bigger, better, and more important than God. God will humble you. I've been there, been humbled like everything. God will take everything from you to let you know, I am the one who gave you this. I am the one who gave you that, and I am the one that gave you life. Trust in me. Hallelujah. And in 2 Kings 15 and 16, because they did not surrender, therefore he attacked them. As God prepares to judge his rebellious people, usually first gives them a taste of the judgment to come, giving them a further opportunity to repent. But Israel ignored his warning. And I'm going to tell you, folks that want to do wrong, you better look and read and study the path, because God will show you everything to keep you from walking down the wrong road. God will show you what you need to walk righteously. These kings did right and then messed up. One got leprosy because he got prideful. Find out in the Chronicles, we'll find out a lot more detail of some of these kings we're calling out names of now. And so as we get into chapter 16, it says, in the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Ramlah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord. The majority of these kings messed up. Clean up. It's all kind of stuff. Now we had to go from good king, and now we're looking at down the road, just messing up. And now you understand why Judah and Israel were sent into exile, why they were sent into slavery, why they went through, because they forgot to trust in God. They forgot who gave them everything that they had. They forgot Abraham. They forgot Isaac. They forgot Jacob, Israel. They forgot who they belong to. And we got to not forget who our Father is. Our Father, Lord God Almighty, who brings us through. And as we go into and that who we must trust, 20 years old, again, he's a child. He doesn't know that much. So there's others that are around him giving him bad advice. And let's see what happens. And it says, he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his father David had done. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Indeed, he made his son pass through the fire according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel, and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Ramlah, son of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to make war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, captured Elath for Syria and drove the men of Judah from Elath. Then the Edomites went to Elath and dwelt there to this day. So Ahaz sent messengers to Telchishar, king of Assyria, saying, I am your servant and your son. Come up and save me from the hand of the king of Syria. and from the hand of the king of Israel, who rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house, and sent it as a present to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria heeded him, but the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it, carried his people captive to Kir and killed raisins. Now King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah, the priest, the design of the altar and its pattern, according to all its workmanship. Then Urijah, the priest, built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Urijah, the priest, made it before King Ahaz came back from Damascus. And when the king came back from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached the altar and made offering on it. So he burned his burnt offering and his grain offering, and he poured his drink offering and sprinkled the blood of his peace offering on the altar. He also brought the bronze altar which was before the Lord from the front of the temple, from before the new altar in the house of the Lord. Now understand, the king is not allowed to do what he is doing. It's an abomination, because only the priest can do that. And he is doing the job of the priest. Come on now. And it goes on to say, and from between the new altar and the house of the Lord, and put the north side of the new altar. Then King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, on the great new altar burn the morning burnt offering and evening grain offering, and the king's burnt sacrifice and his grain offering with the burnt offering of all the people of the land, their grain offering and their drink offering, and sprinkle on it all the blood of the burnt offering and all the blood of the sacrifice and the blood altar, and the bronze altar shall be for me to inquire by. Thus did Urijah the priest according to all that King Ahaz commanded. And King Ahaz cut off the panels of the carts and removed the levers from them. And he took down the seat from the bronze oxen and what that were among it, and put it on a pavement of stones. Also he removed the Sabbath pavilion which they had built in the temple. And he removed the king's outer entrance from the house of the Lord on account of the kings of Assyria. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaz which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Ahaz rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his place. And this is what the word of God says in... Okay, that actually is not a life lesson, but the life lesson that I just give myself from that word is that you can have good kings, you can have bad kings, you can have good people, you can have bad people. But the bottom line is God is in charge of everything. And when you go and do what you think that is right in your own eyes, they may not be right in God's eyes. And as we go into our psalm this morning, which is where our title is coming from, and I have a couple of life lessons and a life question before I turn it over to Mother Valerie, as well as our proverb. And the proverb we have today is one that we all should take heed. And it says this: thus my heart was grieved. And I can imagine God's heart being grieved by everything that's happening in Israel and Judah with these wicked kings. And it says that I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. And this is a repentant soul. This could be a Peter in the Old Testament. Peter was repentant. Thus my heart was grieved and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? and there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart. Hallelujah. And my portion forever. For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. I put my trust in the Lord God. Are you putting your trust in the Lord God this morning? Are you believing and trusting that God can and God will take care of you and yours? I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord, is my testimony. I trust God. Hallelujah. Psalm, the 73rd Psalm, verse 22. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. When we leave the path God lays out for us and walk our own way, we may think for a while that we are pursuing a better or more enjoyable course of action. But sin is always the wrong choice. Always. When we realize our sin, we also recognize how foolish and ignorant we've been. We all have done it. We all have gone the wrong direction. And it took God to bring us back in mind with arrogance and foolishness. We thought we didn't have to go to church. We didn't need all of that fake stuff with those hypocrites, you know, in their robes talking and don't want to listen to nothing anybody else has to say. Just because you're new to a church don't mean you're not saved. We would like that. We were just being honest. But we never forgot God. We prayed every day, every day. We prayed together every night before he went to work. We prayed together when he was on. We prayed together for 32 years, including the day, night before he died, we prayed. We never forgot God, but we didn't want the communion of saints until God called us back. And I tell you, it was rough. But when I walked through those doors of the house of the Lord and everything flooded back, the way I was raised, the way God had been preparing me all along to work his work, to work in the kingdom, I didn't understand mentality and not the godly mentality that was due. God had to change my life. He had to take the I into the yours. Hallelujah. I'm yours, God. I can do nothing without you, God. Hallelujah. As the word says, I can do all things through who Christ who strengthens me. We can't do anything in our flesh. These kings of Israel didn't understand that. In Psalm 70, the 73rd Psalm, verse 26, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Hallelujah. And it says some people think that only the weak need God. But the fact is that all of us are weak. Yes, we are. Our flesh fails. Our hearts fail. But when we find our strength in God, our weakness turns to strength. Hallelujah. Our weakness turns to strength. And a life question for this morning as we move forward in our day. How do I deal with burnout? Burnout, the very expression seems to make us sigh, doesn't it? In this fast-paced, overworked world, most of us have felt the tiring numbness of burnout. How should a believer in Christ respond to these feelings? Surrender. You may think it means to throw up your hands and cry, I give up, but that is not what we must do. Rather, we should surrender everything we have to the Lord. His hands are large enough to hold things we need him to handle. Remember what God said. I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hand, stretched out the heavens and all their hosts. I have commanded. Isaiah 45 and 12. When we try to keep everything in our puny hands, we will eventually start dropping it off. Been there, done that. everything. And it's God that's helping me pick it up. Depend on him. Have you ever relinquished a concern to the Lord only to find yourself trying to pull it back out of his hand? We tend to want to fix things ourselves. The truth is, however, that only God has both the power and perspective to bring all manner to their proper conclusion. When we try to take things back from him, we only interfere with the solution he wants to bring about. Hallelujah. Trust him. I have put my trust in the Lord God. Trust him. One, surrender to God. Number two, depend on God. Number three, trust in God. And do not overlook this vital point. God loves you. Because of his great love, God wants to take care of you. And that means we want to handle all of, he wants to handle all of our worries. He wants to handle them all. All we got to do is give it to God. God doesn't want you to run yourself into exhaustion, even by doing good deeds or church work. Come on now. Indeed, he desires that you rejoice in his rest. You may have reached the end of your rope, but God never will. That's why you must learn to say, as I did, my flesh and my heart fail. But, oh, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And the question is, are you burning out? If so, return to God and be rekindled today. I was going through some burnout, and I had to give it all to God because I was losing my mind. I thank God today that he has been giving me peaceful sleep. Because before I was sleeping 3, 4, 5 hours, I've been getting some good 7-hour rest, and it's helping me to get better. So I'm thanking God for peaceful sleep. And the last thing for me today is Proverbs 18:20-21. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. And it tells us death and life, come on now, are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life. You know, we hear people call, well, life and death. No, death and life. We got to speak life over ourselves. Speak life over your loved ones. Speak life. I don't want anybody to love me to death. You love me to life. Because I want that life eternally. I don't want death. I want life. Life with Jesus. Life with long life. You shall satisfy me. Is what David said. And I say with long life. Don't speak death over me. Speak life as I speak life over you. As I encourage you to trust in God. Hallelujah. Thanking God again for this mighty, mighty word this morning. I'm all filled up, y'all. Woo, hallelujah. It's a great word today. Again, I have put my trust in the Lord God. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you. I'm all about to shout up in here. This has been a great word. And again, when you're feeling burnout, remember to surrender to God. Depend on God and God, and he will get you through. Woo. Praise the Lord this morning. Mother Valerie.
Amen. Good morning, saints of God and people of God. It says, put your trust in God. Trust in the Lord and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. You know, on our money, the money that we use, it said, in God we trust. So they put that even on the money. We should trust God, not the money. That's pretty good. John 21.
Say that one more time. Excuse me. Say that one more time, Mother Bella. We should put our trust in God and not in the what?
Not in the money. And on money, it says, trust in the Lord. You know, on our money, it says, in God we trust. So don't trust in that money. Trust in God. They even put that on your money. In God we trust. And I find that to be spectacular, that they will put that on money. Don't trust in this money. In God we trust. That's good.
Right.
In God we
That's
trust.
Right. Amen. Oh, God. Preach this sermon. This is my favorite.
Amen. John 21:125. It said, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. You know, that means after he had died, he came back and he showed himself to the disciples. He has risen. There's no need to cry because he's with us. He's still here. And I love that song, Don't Cry. Do not cry. Don't cry. I mean, he's alive. He's alive. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathaniel of Canaan in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. You see, he's risen. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. Said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw in because of the multitude. It was so many fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. He got excited. It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, put on his outer garment, or he had removed it, plunged into the sea. But the other disciple came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, and about 200 cubits dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. Jesus laid fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up, dragged the net to the land for the large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. You know what? Jesus came to serve. He, our God, Abba, Father, had cooked breakfast for the disciples. Yet none of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus then came and took the bread, gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. I mean, death could not hold that body down. I just love it. Death could not hold that body down. Although they did so many things to Jesus at the crucifixion, but death could not hold that body down. He's alive, folks. He's alive right now. He's alive in our hearts. He's alive. He has risen, so don't cry. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Said to him, feed my lambs. And said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Said to him, tend my sheep. Said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself, walked where you wish, and when you were old, you stretched out your hands, and another would gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Then he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testified of these things and wrote these things. We know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if was written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. You know what? He asked old Peter, Simon Peter, tend my sheep. And he said, do you love me? He said that to him three different times. Do you love me? Do you love me? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter was hurt. He was grieved in his heart. The guy would continually ask him, do you love me? Do you love me? He said, Lord, oh, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. But see, Peter betrayed the Lord when the rooster crowed three different times. He said, you are going to betray me. Peter had told him, Lord, I'll die. I'll die before I betray you. But he did. And it grieved Peter in his heart that what God had told him, what Jesus had told him, came to pass. He couldn't believe that he would deny the Lord. But he did. A lot of times, we don't know what this flesh will do. We don't know that. But we have to trust in the Lord. Lean not into our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct our path. And then if we do, like Peter, we do something wrong, all you got to do is run to the throne, not the phone. Repent, and ask God to forgive you. Don't run away from the Lord, because God knows up front what you're going to do. He knows, because he knows you. The very hair on your head is numbered. God knows who's going to accept him, and he knows the ones that are not. Like Satan wanted to be God. God knew that. He knew that. God knows everything. There's nothing that will happen to you anywhere. I mean, he made the heavens. He made the earth. He is God. I mean, that's a lot to wrap your mind around when you think about Abba, Father. It's a lot to think about God. And he tells you, you are my child. The God of the heavens, the God of the earth, called you his children. You know, boy, if you get to thinking about God, God is more than a bag of chips. God is really something to be.
Amen.
You know, it's just something to know that you are called a child of God. I am a child of the Most High God. Whew. That is really something. So we need to trust in the Lord no matter what, and no matter how many mistakes we make, no matter how many times you fall. It says you fall down seven times. Get back up again. Ask God to forgive you. Get back up again and again. Trust in the Lord. Lean not into your own understanding. All your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. God is a good God. No matter what you're going through, I don't care what you're going through, God is with you. He said, in the end, joy, weeping may do for a night. Joy comes in the morning. God said he will wipe away all tears from your eyes, give you a new body. And Lord, I'm looking for that new body. I'm always thinking about the rapture. At 80 years old, in 2 months, you will think about the rapture. And I'm thinking about the rapture. I'm thinking about being caught up. I'm thinking about Rita and Janice having a new body, brand new body that can go through the walls. No pain, no tears. Caught up to meet him in midair. Oh, my Lord. You know, I think about God, and I think about God. I don't want to be left behind. Now, Lord, I said, forgive me for wrong thoughts when I think wrong. Sometimes you do think wrong. You think wrong. I was looking at two girls yesterday, and they were dressed like little moms to me. I mean, they were showing their stomachs, and, you know, they had on skimpy clothes. And I said, oh, my God, look at them little ladies. And then I had to ask God, forgive me for thinking of them girls like that. Because when I was downtown, I was looking for how to mail a letter, and I didn't know how to do this. You know, I knew the box was there, but I didn't know which way to put the letter in. And them two little girls come up and said, ma'am, this is the way you put your letter into the box. I said, oh, my God, look how I was thinking about them little girls, and them little girls God used to help me. You have to be careful the way you think about people. Like when I went to Eunice's funeral yesterday, this little boy was talking, and he had his britches where you could see his drawers. And I was thinking, my God. But then when he got up to speak, he said, you know, I'm not there yet. I said, oh, my gosh. You have to be careful how you think about people and how I was thinking about them little girls. Them two little girls come over and show me everything. And I said, Lord, forgive me for my thoughts to them. And you know what? I was getting ready to meddle with a young man downtown. He had his britches hanging down. And I was getting ready to tell him, baby, your britches is getting ready to fall. God said, don't you do that. You need to mind your own business. I mean, I was just getting ready
Amen.
To open my mouth. To me, that is so offensive. It offends
you know what,
me.
Mother,
God says, mind
you
your own
that.
Business.
As you say that, what did Jesus tell Peter? What is it to you? What is it to you?
Oh.
You know, when Peter's looking at John, and he says, you know, said Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And that's what God wants us to understand. That it doesn't, we got to mind, you're right, Mother, mind our business. What is it to you that they had on little skimpy clothes? What is it to you that his pants was hanging? Just like in my case, when my car flooded out and I lost my very nice car, my husband, I was upset. But it was these three young people looking, you know, girl with the hiked up sweats because it was flooding. And the boys, you know, with they what they used to call them wife beaters, but with the T-shirts. And, you know, they looked scary coming out of the night. Tall young people pushed my car up a hill out of the water. To this day, you don't know. You may be entertaining angels unaware. Hallelujah. And before we get out of here this morning, I just thank Mother Valerie for a mighty word of God. But we can't leave without a word from Sister Carolyn, and our time is almost up. And it says this, good morning, when you come on now. Honor God first. Everything else will fall into place. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Right in line with our word and with my grandson's word. God is perfect, and he never fails. When you honor God first, everything else will fall into place. And again, I will put my trust in the Lord God. So thanking God for Sister Carolyn. Thanking God for Mother Valerie. Thanking God for all of you as we need to wrap it up. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. Mother Valerie and I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. I got to go to work. Mother Valerie, I love you to pieces. All of you, we love you, we love you, we love you, and there is nothing you can do about it but love God right along with us. And it is a wrap. Mother, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It is a wrap.
Amen.